beer, beer. Beer, 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 beer. Beer, 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 beer. Beer, 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 beer. Beer, beer, beer. Beer, 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 beer. Beer, 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 beer. It's the final countdown.
From our dusty cellars, thinking that communists and Muslims should be better friends since they both like to punish you for making a profit, it's the final countdown.
That is good. That's very good.
I'm Manus Cronin, joining us this week as always, making dim sum with Johnny Rotten and inadvertently inventing steampunk, it's James Belfast.
Hello.
Also joining us this week, the only person to forget to swap back their shoes at the Leisureplex and come home with a better deal, Jack Toner.
Which was not me.
That was Irla. Irla left his work boots there and took the bowling shoes and got a significantly better deal. Because normally your shoes are better than bowling shoes.
But no, through a combination of particularly shitty work shoes and particularly fabulous bowling shoes, he really came out good.
And he's from Cork as well, so they hadn't seen bowling shoes before. I do believe they elected him mayor at that point.
Oh, look at that man in the fancy spats. He knows what it's up.
Here we are in County Cork. Hob of Ireland style bowling shoes. That's right, sir. Yes, it is. Ben Clifford is also joining us this week, former host of the show, current Ben Clifford. How you doing, Ben?
Hey, how are things? How is everyone?
Ben with his fancy new haircut. He seems to be looking at everyone and saying, hey, look at me, Rex Banner. I have a fancy new haircut.
We might get onto it if we run out of other topics, maybe.
It is on the agenda as an agenda item, Ben's haircut. We do intend to get to it. Also on the agenda this week, Motorway Madness! Miller Genuine Draft, The Boys, and I think that might have been it. But that's still four things, and we almost never have any things. So four things is more than zero. I think we're happy enough to go with this.
Yeah, yeah, that's four than we usually have. So
yeah,
if anything, we're probably not going to get to about two of those things.
Yeah. But before we go on a tangent about something else and then just not get to three and four.
You're right. Like, how tall is David Spade? We never actually got to the bottom of it. He could be 5'2" or 6'2", and honestly, I believe you.
He has a fine cruft, that's for sure. But before we get to any of that, it's time to get introduced to the beers brought along independently by an independent by nature brewery. This week, we have Wicklow Wolf Mammoth IPA.
Hey.
I should say just two of us have that, just me and Ben, the children who filled out their application forms in full. James is just drinking whatever James got at some point because James actually lives far deep into the country where he's in a specific type of lockdown where he's not allowed to go to the shop, even given 2 days' notice, to fetch the easily accessible beer.
He actually lives in Super Dublin, which is in lockdown level six.
It's in level six lockdown.
That, if you go back, and actually I think if you look in the old Norse, that's what Hrothgar's name originally means. It's Super Dublin.
Hrothgar, yeah, that is what it means. Provided nobody does any research, they won't know that that's not what it means. Jack, you're not even paying the Dutch price. Did I see you sucking on a stick of Heinemite there?
You are. I've actually made too many deposits in the Dutch bank this week, and I finished all my Dutch electively. Not as punishment, just because I wanted a beer. So here I am paying the Heino price.
Well, at least you're being honest about what Dutch is and why everyone should want to drink it at all times. But so for the children who filled out their application forms in full, Ben, have you had a chance to try this yet?
Yeah, I cracked it open. I was too quick off the mark, so I didn't get to give the audience that. But I've been working on my Foley work, so see if they can tell the difference.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
There, I thought you were going to get thrown off a Hell in the Cell.
I laughed twice at that. Once because of Mick Foley, and twice because I thought I was accidentally inviting into my home a Stone Cold Steve Austin by cracking both glass and can in one.
Yeah, that is how he gets in.
Yeah, so you his name.
He's like the candy man, except it's beer and he's a stone cold man. What do you think of this, Ben?
I am pleasantly surprised. because having learned nothing about beer in the time in which I've been, I don't only drink on this show. I do some sort of extracurricular drinking on the side. And I still, although I listen along, still know nothing about beer. But this, I expected a lot of IPAs kind of stop you in their tracks, halt, don't drink no more because it's too bitter or too hoppy. This one doesn't. It's quite smooth.
Yeah, it is. It seems to be, and again, always as a flash up the nut signal for this, because I could be wrong about this. This strikes me as being a sort of a West Coast style thing. It doesn't have the opacity or the just a general booziness and kind of orange juicy nature of the New England style, which we seem to see. So I don't know if that makes it West Coast, if it just makes it kind of old school, or if it makes it something in and of itself. It comes in at 6.2% alcohol by volume. You can taste the booze. You're not wondering where it is, but it's not stopping you. Like you said, it's not stopping you in its tracks.
Yeah. It's a cozy warm hug on a winter night. But not a put your finger against the iron to test if it's hot.
For sure. And Wicklow Wolf have been hit or miss on our program. And in fact, mostly miss. Not because all of their beers are misses, but because the ones we've tended to have, you tend to try and get one you haven't had before. And whereas we quite like the likes of Elevation, there's a couple of other ones they have that are good. There's not much point having that again, so you end up getting their other stuff. But this is good. I think the Wolf,
they're not the only brewer who fell at that sometimes, right? Where the core range is so good, it rarely makes it on. And the special range is so limited that it's gone and away with itself. Remember one of them was something shoes? From the listeners might know more than something
pointy shoes.
Pointy shoes, was that them? Yeah, and I don't think we particularly liked that.
I can't remember if we had that or not. But regardless, you'd be correct. They're not the only brewery who suffers from us like loving them, but they do like two things that we love, and you can only have it on so many times, and then tending to get shat on. These guys have upped their distribution game in a big way.
The only place they're not is Super Dublin. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, the only place they aren't is where James is currently quarantined. Because I bought these ones in O'Brien's. But then, just on an unrelated trip to Centra, they have the full Wicklow Wolf range. And my Centra has nothing. So, like, that they have that is, I guess they must just be, maybe they're in with Musgraves or something, and that's why they're just, in any case, good for them, because you got to get in those places. Although I didn't, this is relatively fresh as well. I think it's quite new. I think it is.
Yes.
I
haven't seen this before. Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's new to me. And that same sense, like, I quite like their Elevation. Arcadia compared to, I've actually moved off lagers as the original crisp boy.
Whoa. Things so now have it's changed. Just other things and literal packs of crisps.
Yes. Yeah. Which I sprinkle on top to give it a kind of crispy head. Good. But I'm inclined to think that this is going to be part of my, if I want to go to get an IPA, but I will not give it a score yet. So that's the, because that's not how the show works.
Wow. Playing by the rules. I thought you were a renegade.
Nope, changed. That all came with my crisp love of things that were smooth and crisp and light. And now I'm by the book.
Like, which your is, haircut.
It is very boot cut. It is.
Yeah, we might as well get into this. Ben has his new haircut. I heard you describe this, Ben, as the barber having done exactly what you asked him to and you being furious about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think to understand this, we really need to understand the emotional place you were in before the haircut that resulted in you saying the thing you said.
I think so. I see. I haven't gotten a haircut since November last year. So like
10 months.
Haircut at the wedding, day of, like a little tidy up, a little that kind of stuff. And then I haven't cut my hair since getting married. And it has steadily gotten longer, in a style I quite liked, but here's the thing about marriage. It's all about compromise. So I won't point out the other person who wasn't fond of the hair. But it was kind of shoulder.
The wife, was it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. More like nappy. The strife.
Yeah, more like.
Yeah, she, in fairness, very nice about it. But it got to the point where not only was it long, but I'm also lazy. So like when washed, beautiful, luscious hair. Most of the time, greasy Severus Snape like hair.
High risk, high reward hair strategy.
Yeah, I mean, man, when it was washed and blow dried, like a lion on the prowl.
When it was washed and blown, much like yourself, at its absolute peak.
As a happy man, they might say. Really liked it. There's multiple documented sources of my long hair on the internet, of which you can go find. But went into the barber. I booked myself in for a classic Dublin 30 euro wash, cut and style. That's kind of the usual thing. Mm-hmm. Won't name the place where they are, but they're close to the Tapas in Ranelagh. So one of the barbers in Ranelagh.
Oh, you got to cut at the Lewis stop. They're but 2 minutes away. 2.5 minutes.
Just put my head out.
How close are we talking?
It is probably a 7 minute walk.
Too far. Throw it away.
Oh, it might be exactly 2 minutes from the Beechwood Lewis stop.
Yep.
So.
Just south of the triangle itself. I know exactly where you were.
Yes. Oh, no, I wasn't there. No, you're thinking of a barber named after a certain street in Dublin.
Yes,
this is a barber. Yeah, this is a barber named after a certain spot, the G spot.
Oh, you're a Gmail?
Well, no, I wasn't checking my email, but I was in a barber that it sounds exactly like that. So that's where I was. And it's also no fault of them, so I don't know why I danced around that.
Why are you putting people on blast?
It's just not what you wanted.
Yeah, and it might be, now that I'm hearing myself talk, it might be my ineptitude at communicating that led to this.
So what did you say you wanted?
My entire life, anytime I've gotten my haircut, and I don't know if anyone out there can empathize with this, I've gone like, can I get like a 2 on the sides and like a little bit on top, like to play around with. And I normally mention like kind of like a 3 or 5 on top. And yeah. Any other barber in the history of my life has not taken when I'm talking about the top of my hair to mean blade.
But you said a 3 or a 5.
Yeah, I just mean length.
Like they'll usually... Length. I have to agree that they will usually ask, if you ask for anything that could be taken as a blade, they will usually ask, do you want that on the fringe as well?
Yes. Yeah.
Now, I'm a one-barber kind of guy. I'm a one-barber kind of guy. I've been going to Brendan since whenever his father retired. We've gone to the same barber forever, so I can just get the usual. It's very handy. I don't know what I would do. The last time I got a haircut not from Brandon was when I went looking for a 5 euro haircut and Ian wanted to tell me I already had one. But I was trying to be Tim Ford's twin in that play, if you remember, where that was the only reason why we didn't look identical was that we didn't have the same hair, you know.
And Tim didn't commit to the Tim didn't want to lose his luscious locks, I presume.
Well, no, Tim, I took a picture of Tim to the barber and said, do that. Do that to me.
Tim should have taken a picture of you when it wasn't that and then just ruined his haircut too.
Yeah, and frankly, Tim can learn a lot more from me than I can learn from him, if we're being honest about this. I mean, you know, does he even know, for example, how to entirely ruin his life by drinking too much for like 10 years? I don't think he does. He's never shown me any evidence. So,
The mistakes I made, and I made multiple, was I went in with long hair and I didn't want to come out with a short version of long hair. So I wanted to be very clear that I'm asking for a short haircut.
So when the
barber said, so just buzz it all off, and I thought he was talking kind of colloquially.
Ah, like in Snoop Dogg sense, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, just buzz it all off. And I'm like, yeah, man.
You're too bold, Mr. Clifford. Yes, I like that slang.
Yes, I was like, oh yeah, place called Gmail, probably into their slang. But he did, in fact, buzz it all off. And the cherry on top was having booked myself in for like a stylish cut and then going to pay in ceiling that they did a basic blade for like 15 euro. I proceeded to pay the 30 euro that I'd told them I would. Because they were like, the style and cut and snip and wash. And I'm like, yeah. And it's like, you can tell. And that's their domain. I don't want to be like, hey, this is clearly buzzed, but I like the cook I am, paid that money.
You are a cook.
Yeah, so it was, I definitely felt, I went in looking for a self-esteem boost and I left feeling terrible about myself.
You've come to the right place now, Ben, where we're all going to sit here and tell you that in spite of looking like some sort of army accountant, you do actually wear that hairstyle well.
Yeah,
it's the first time in my life I've had it. So that's the, it's new for me, but probably not new as a style.
You're in better shape than you have been previously as well. And a man with a slimmer face can always carry a shorter haircut better than, you know, you've seen those kind of gammonish gentlemen with their tight haircuts and it's doing them no favors, you know.
Gammonish.
Yeah, gammonish. Kind of look like me, you know.
Like they look like a pile, like a big lump of ham.
Yeah, and it's okay to insult their appearance because I disagree with them politically, so therefore it's fine, you know?
Yeah.
I went to look up reference photos to explain to, so I had to, I wanted to give Kim, who's my wife, a little bit of warning. I'd be like, look, it's different. And I went to look up reference photos and all I could find was pictures of Drake. And I didn't want to mislead her.
That's exactly, you're a white girl with a black man's haircut.
Yeah, it is a very black man's haircut. Like it's, and it's stylish, don't get me wrong, but like,
tight fade.
Let me put in context. Anyone in Ireland, when I eventually did share it along like my little Instagram stories, anyone in Ireland responded with like a laughy or an oof. Emoji. Anyone in Toronto, Flame City. They were like, "That's slick," and I was like, "Oh, thanks,
that's
man."
That's a Drake thing. They love Drake in Toronto.
Yeah. Being a Toronto man, so
they're like, "What you should have done there? What you should have done is find like the worst picture of a haircut possible, send that on, and say, yeah, this has kind of happened," and then anything would have been an improvement.
Yeah, so just you should have just found a picture of James's hair and sent it to Kim, and then you know. Hey Ben, your wife made you get the old haircut, did she? Yeah.
She did, yeah.
They ever tell you about the three rings of marriage, did they?
No, yeah. I mean, I know, but the audience doesn't know, so
well,
why don't you?
Well, there's three, okay. First is the engagement ring, right?
Yeah.
And then the wedding ring, and then finally, the suffering, I'd say probably, in all likelihood. Because you can't just go to the pub at 4 in the afternoon.
I can't.
You really can't.
For Manus to get engaged.
Yeah.
I don't know what, I don't know what Manus getting engaged would have anything to do with what Fionn thinks about these things. I don't understand.
Well, Fionn, as his best man, would get to finally get the opportunity to bust out all these jokes for a live audience.
Be the first time he was the best at anything, I don't mind telling you.
Well,
that would be a real Manus move, would be to include in my wedding party a fictional character
played by yourself.
Yeah. I get to be
officiated
my own
by
best
Whacker.
Man.
He's like, oh, now it's time for the best man speech. Manus just runs out of the room for a quick costume change.
No, he doesn't run out of the room. He just takes the tie that's around his neck, puts it around his head, and swaps his pint of Guinness for a pint of Rockshore. Archway,
you absolute spoofer.
Yeah.
But Ben, the judgment here is we quite like your haircut. It's not
Thank
a bad
you. Yeah, I know. It has, for... I'm not going to do the terrible joke of it's grown on me, but I actually have gotten used to it. I can't wait for it not to be this, but I don't feel like... I've never looked at my own shadow and seen an egg head, because I never have my hair this short or this
heads
like close to my skull.
Heads are inherently eggs, though.
They are eggs. You
that's
are
That's not a you thing. That's a head thing.
Eggs.
How do you like Stephen Donnelly in the morning? Right.
I mean, I could run. Okay. I could run as a sock down. That could be my new thing.
You could. You could beat Gary Gannon in a fight, I'm fairly sure.
You could run as a Nazi at this point.
Thanks.
You look tougher. You look about as tough as a $40 steak.
I genuinely think that I'm too soft for a haircut like this. That I don't carry myself in the way that I... like. Someone described me, a friend of mine at work, who I work with, because that's why they're there, said I looked like Frenchie from The Boys. And I took that. That's the first time I took it as a compliment. I was like, damn, he is a cool man.
Yeah, you know what? That's a perfect segue to talk about Motorway Madness. I think this would be a short one, so I actually do want to go to Motorway Madness before we go to The Boys. I'd have a question for you guys. Probably not as much you, Ben, because you're so experienced of a driver that it actually, your take won't be very important on this. But to the other two plebs, two guys who've been driving for about 10 years longer than I have.
Mm-hmm.
I presume you've also noticed a motorway behavior, motorway madness, if you will.
Yeah.
It's
when you get super smashed and go on the motorway.
Yeah, super smash bros. But then, like, there is a load of really dangerous but understandable behaviors. You know, just going it up 200k down the motorway. It's horrendously dangerous, but I get it. You know, weaving in and out of stuff, making dangerous overtakes and stuff. Uh-huh. Awful, you shouldn't do it, but I get it.
Yeah.
There's one behavior that is basically safe, but I have yet to figure out why anyone does it, and I'd like your opinion. Which is overtaking me to go 20 kilometers slower than I am.
Hmm. All right, let me get any more information to get us started. What lane are you in, fast or slow?
I'm in the left lane.
You're in the pussy lane, all right? You're in
the pussy lane, yeah. I'm going the speed limit.
I would have no idea how to contribute to this conversation because I have never been in such a lane.
You just hang in the right lane the whole time?
I hang in the right lane. The only reason I leave the right lane is when I'm the fucker slowing people down and I've got some fucking inevitably Audi up my ass and I'm like, you know what? He gets a pass and then I just go to the left and then move right back into the right.
But I understand that Audi's behavior, as irresponsible as it is, he's breaking the speed limit to get somewhere faster. James, have you ever noticed it? Does someone ever overtake? Like, it happens to me all the time. I'll be going maybe slightly above the speed limit. Someone will overtake me, going to the left, but then just slow down to like 100 kilometers.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think they just want to win. They want to be pumped, but they're like, they don't want to speed because they're like responsible citizens, but they also want to win.
They want to be first. So I'm not just pulling this
loser ass level of winning.
I think I know what this is. And there was something you said there, Manus, that like you were going slightly over the speed limit. And the only thing that infuriates safe drivers more than the fast lane. And Jack, I've been in the car with you. I've seen you grind on that middle barrier. Like, we've pulled some sick flips right there. Yeah. You just hop up and just back wheels.
We always land them, though. We always land them.
Yeah, we do. We use those specials, man.
You've not lived until you've seen Jack ollie a car.
Yeah. I'm like the NBA Jam of driving.
Yeah. Which is it's a whirlwind to be in. And when the tunes are going, I mean, you get some Blood Brothers pumping.
You barely even notice you hit all those people.
Exactly. But the only thing that would infuriate people more, aside from the existence of a fast lane, is someone in the left lane going slightly up. They'd much rather someone going 200 in the fast lane than someone going slightly over the speed limit in the. So they're going in front of you to then do the speed limits to, like, as a real...
But they're not. Like, when I say I'm going slightly over, like, I have the cruise control set at, like, 122.
Like, that would have
been... It's not a 120.
So, and they're going at, like, 100. They were going at 100 when they were behind me. They had to accelerate to 130 to get in front of me. And then the reason I wanted to ask other people was because I was like, is it the end plate? Did people have a thing about being behind end plate drivers?
That's a good call.
But if it's happening to James, it's not the end plate.
Here's my theory. I think it's that if you're a lefty by nature, if you're a slow lane person by nature, you're very conscious of speeding, or perhaps more conscious of things like fuel economy. So in that moment, they're allowing their speed to creep up. And then when they overtake, they get to an illegal speed, which they're not a fan of. And then when they move back in, their brain kicks in and goes, all right, now what speed do I want to go? Maybe it's not the speed limit. Maybe it's a little bit lower. So I don't want to get there fastest. I want to get there cheapest. I'm going a little under that speed limit.
But I also want to get there ahead of the person who was in front of me, even though they were going faster than I wanted to go. And if I just kept going whatever speed I was going, I wouldn't have to deal with them at all.
Because, you know, surely if they were cheapest was their aim, stay behind, get some slipstream going on.
Get some slipstream going.
Get some slip in that stream.
Maybe they got caught in your slipstream and had to overtake because they just got that sweet little boost.
That is. I do remember my science teacher telling me about that being a thing. Yeah.
I've played enough Need for Speed Underground to tell you that the slipstream is actually the only way to go faster than a car is able to go.
Mm-hmm. They don't want to. They're looking across at you going, oh, no, going too fast.
Like, it's not the biggest problem on the motorway. Like, there's, like, on the same journey that I noticed this, it was like, there's just people who just don't indicate. There's like, well, I'm overtaking. I'll be back there in a second. I don't have to, you know, indicate. It'll be fine. And that's,
there's also people who are doing 110 in the fast lane.
They do need to get in the bin too.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they, well, I sort of understand in that I don't think they understand what's happening. I just don't know. You know, they just
got onto the motorway in that lane and just stayed there.
What about two heavy goods vehicles going side by side at 90 kilometers an hour, like in both lanes?
You know what I always feel like that is? Those guys all kind of know each other. I feel like they're going side by side because they're having some sort of chat through the window.
Yeah, they probably are.
And in that moment, they don't give a fuck.
Can you see on top? Because I think there's a fight happening between the two of them on top. And they're being safe drivers, just making sure the trucks are side by side. Like, it's a Matrix situation happening.
There's people doing some crazy kung fu between them.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually once saw that happening. And the guys were having a conversation. But they were having a conversation about Jean-Claude Van Damme, who was doing the splits between both of the trucks.
Mm-hmm. It will be the topic. Because the only long-haul trucker I ever knew... told me, like, if you have to break the speed limit or whatever you have to do to not be anywhere near one of us, just do, because they're everyone's crazy. They're all just like, they don't care. Shout out Frankie.
Guy, yeah, Frankie.
Animal. He would say, like, things. They're all crazy, like, as if he wasn't, which I always found amusing.
But if you're always in the right lane, like, scientifically speaking, that's a sure way to lose your mind.
Yeah,
like, we know that emphatically. Like, Jack, you spend your life in the fast lane.
No, yeah. Ben, it's insane in the left lane.
Oh, I was thinking life insane in the fast lane.
Oh,
maybe it's always mad. That's why it's motorway madness, no matter what lane you're in. Unless you're grinding on that sweet little lip in the middle.
This already took way longer than I intended it to do. Jack doesn't understand it's a problem because he's a motorway arsehole. James gets it but has no explanation.
You didn't need to add motorway, but I appreciate that you did.
Another very brief one. It's just that did you know that Miller Genuine Draft is the same beer as Miller High Life, but unpasteurized and instead ceramic filtered?
That's where you're wrong.
So not the same beer.
No. Miller High Life is from the High Life region of France. That's why it's the
same. Anything else is just
Miller Genuine Draft. Like, there's rules to this, man.
It's the same liquid. It's just unpasteurized.
But that is different, though.
Yeah, okay, it's different, but it's different, like, very
It's like saying potatoes and vodka are the same thing, they just haven't fermented.
No, it isn't.
No, that's too far. That's clearly too far. Yeah. Like, I see where Manus is coming from, but, like... It is.
Well, I would always ask, like, why don't they have High Life in Ireland? And they basically do. They have Miller Genuine Draft also claim, and I'd have to again put the nut signal up, they claim that they have a skunk resistant hop called Galena hop.
Ooh.
Which is why they can be in a clear bottle and it tastes fine. Now, I will admit, the last time I had a bottle of Miller Genuine Draft, it wasn't skunked, but it also came out of a cardboard box, so I don't imagine how it could have got light struck. Suppose the experiment would be to leave one on the windowsill and see what happens.
I think that could be the new Dutch penalty. Everyone has to get a sweet six pack of Miller and leave them in the sun.
A skunked out Miller, yeah.
Yeah, see if it's okay.
So, nut signal in the air. Is there such a thing as a skunk resistant hop? Are the Miller company full of shit?
Maybe they don't put hops in it at all. That's
yeah,
why it's
hop free.
Yeah. It's all too many hops. We need to go straight back to that sweet, sweet water and barley.
And speaking of hops, it's about time to segue directly on to the boys.
What?
We've all been watching it, right?
Since is everyone in season two?
Yeah, I'm up to date. Spoiler alert.
Now, I'm not. I've only seen the first one.
Oh, what's wrong?
The first episode or the first season?
The first season, which I loved. I just haven't gotten around.
Well, let's try and keep it to the first season then when we're talking about what it is. I do have a sort of point about the second season, but it should be spoiler free.
I can jump off.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't expect anything of it. It just seemed like I don't know what it seemed like it was going to be, just something I wasn't going to be into at all. It's sort of Hancock-ish. Right, in that it's like, what if this really happened? What if there were superheroes in real life?
Yeah, I've heard it described like, as someone's like, what's it about? And he goes, superheroes, but not superheroes. Like, don't, if you hate superhero stuff, don't go into this thinking you won't like it, because it's not really that.
So it's basically is it more of an Avengers pastiche or more of a Justice League pastiche?
Well, the team itself are definitely more Justice League, because you've got Homelander is Superman, the Deep is Aquaman, Maeve is Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
there's A-Train is Flash.
Black Noir is Batman, I guess. Batman.
Yeah. Whereas, there's not really a direct Iron Man or a direct Thor or a direct Hulk or anyone.
What would Lamplighter be? Would he be like Green Lantern or like?
Yes, I think that's what they were going for. Yeah.
Although we don't really see very much of him. It's really cool.
It's created by Eric Kripke is the showrunner, but I only learned this the other day. Garth Ennis, who's the creator of the graphic novel, is from Northern Ireland, originally from Belfast. This is the first time I'd kind of, not this, the first time I heard of it was me saying it and therefore making it true. I was lurking up like famous people from Northern Ireland because that's part of my job. And and no more will be said about that.
Maybe that explains the whole Queen Maeve being Wonder Woman, but Irish, yes, not Greek.
But he's the writer of Preacher, and before The Boys and Preacher, he did stuff on like The Troubles. So like it's kind of hyper violence, I guess, is what you'd, and you really only get that when your day to day is regular violence. I don't want to make a sweeping statement there, but being able to go, war is crazy, and anything brought to the extreme is insane. And coming from a world of sort of sectarian violence, it has led to like this pressure pot of an incredible graphic artist or graphic novel creator.
Huh. And the first scene or two of the show, it's just like, oh, this is the level of violence we can expect.
It's very much like, and like, this is what would happen if these powers were actually used on a human body, and it's not pretty.
And it's got a critique of like the vault, this like I don't know what they really are, because it seemed to me initially that they were like this this pastiche of like the film companies, you know, who make the Marvel movies or whatever, but then they're also this private security firm, they're this, I don't know what they are.
Like a capitalist version of, if superheroes existed in the world and there was someone who was a capitalist company to take ownership of it, it's what they would be. So like, I guess in a way, either you've seen The Boys, in which case you know what we're talking about, or you haven't seen it, in which case,
and our description won't help.
But the conversation in and of itself might be somewhat entertaining in that sense. Well, I've cast it in my head with us.
If you like this program that you're currently listening to and you haven't seen The Boys, I would say stop listening to this, go watch it, and come back and listen to this later, because you'll appreciate it afterwards. Because I was told to watch it. I didn't come across it organically. My friend Other Gavin, who I politically will call Other Gavin as opposed to Scaldy Gavin, as I used to call him.
But we all know.
Was like, no, you're,
we all know
you're
what you think when you say Other.
Just stick with it. You'll love it. And I did. It's great. They do a really good job of baby faces and heels with enough shades of grey to where it's not boring, but not so much that you can't pick who you're supposed to root for. Like, you often try and do that thing where the shades of grey thing where it's like, oh, I just hate everyone. Or, you know... you can pretty much pick out who the arch villain and the arch hero is. There's loads of really topical stuff, you know, the kind of Hollywood topical stuff, whether it's the sex abuse stuff or whether it's hyper patriotism or whether it's fucking PEDs they do with A-Train. They do that great kind of thing going on. The guy, the Billy Butcher guy, looks like Dean Rogers to my mind.
So here's the thing. That's Carl Urban. And only this week did I discover how many other things I've watched with Carl Urban. And then, because he does such a great job as Billy Butcher, being like, oh, shit, that's him in another thing. So he's Omer in Lord of the Rings. the bushy-eyed elf. Yeah. He's Judge Dredd in Judge Dredd.
In Dredd.
Who is he in Lord of the Rings?
He is Eomer. I think it's maybe it's one of the writers of Rohan. Is that who
he is? Yeah, I was going to say.
He's the guy who rocks Eomer, up on the horse. Sorry. He's the guy who, like, when they circle him up on the horse and they're like, yo, what's up?
I didn't recognize him at all from that. But he's
bald guy in Thor. He's the bald guy in Thor Ragnarok. Like he's
great.
Every character is incredibly.
Star Trek as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
The man in the chair. Doctor, whatever.
Yeah, he's the doctor.
Yeah.
He is a wild casting director's idea of what a tough guy would look like.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he doesn't look like an MMA fighter or what actual tough guys look like, but he looks like fucking like a badass movie tough guy, right?
Yeah. He's got a beard, but it's really chiseled.
Well, for anyone who's watched along, I think that is two things, a very simple thing. If you ever want to be a tough guy in any photo, anything, frown. And then do, and this will be, always do the over-the-shoulder angle, no matter who you're talking to. And often has a side profile in doing it. He's like, oh, you cunt. And he's just always just saying, you cunt, over-shoulder. And he never, and that angle is just tough guy angle.
Actually, I did him a disservice by saying he was a Hollywood idea of a tough guy. He is a comic book tough guy. He looks like how you would draw a tough guy.
Yeah.
And it works. The Frenchie character is good. The main female hero in it, Starlight, she does the perfect white meat baby face.
Yeah.
Getting her eyes open to what the world is and yet still somehow maintaining her decency. Even in season two, this isn't a spoiler, but there's a character who you all know who I'm talking about where I was like, oh, they're fucking this up because this is a baby face. And they're fucking it up because I don't like her. And then you realize, oh, no, they're not. She's terrible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So basically, hard recommend on the boys.
Yes. Yeah.
Stuff. Whoever wrote it and whatever the deal with it is, they even like humanize the awful people. So like the Deep is clearly awful. He's like a sexual abuser and all sorts of things, but they don't. They don't, like, he also likes animals and has a lot of reasons why he is the way he is.
He does that in the first episode, the abuse stuff. Mm. And then pretty much every episode after that is just him being the most pathetic person imaginable. But it's almost like they're saying, how, like, can we make you like him again? Or just feel sorry for him? Because
they don't shy away from how horrible he is, but they also don't pretend that that's all, because I think that's what people don't get sometimes when it's like, and it's why we sort of give people a pass on stuff, because we know them to be good in one aspect of their life, and so therefore we think they could never do this other thing, whereas they kind of do a real good job of showing, no, he can be this and he can be that, and that's why he would never do the other. But I don't know, man. I think they do it. Even Homelander, who's like evil. Like, he's the closest thing they have to, in the first series anyway, to evil.
Power corrupts absolute power. Corrupts absolutely. That is
his
character in a nutshell.
And none of the good guys are all that good, I guess, maybe with the exception of Huey. I think he's probably as close to proper white meat baby face on the non-superhero side.
Huey plays that role of, and I'm going to fuck up the term, but I think it's like the foil, right? As in, like, he's our way in. He's the audience.
Yeah,
so his reactions to stuff
is the Greek chorus. Look, here's what you're supposed to think. Here's the
His reactions to stuff are what our reactions to stuff is supposed to be. And in the same way that when we used to write sketches, if we ever kind of veered into blue, we would often have a reaction to let the audience know when we were being a bit more sophisticated. We also know this is fucked up because one of us would act like this is really fucked up.
Yeah, I would say he's even even not even the Greek chorus, I'd say he's exactly what you're saying he is, Ben, is that he's like, he's the morality police. He's like, this is what the morality of the thing is. So whether that's, yeah, I'm 100% with you. And in some ways he's the least interesting guy for that reason, because it's like, you know, I'm even more, Simon Pegg has a fucking couple of episodes in it as Huey's dad.
Well, here's a little bit of background trivia. In the comic books, which I finished there the other week, Huey is Scottish. So he's Wee Huey, and he's from Scotland, and he's drawn and looks like Simon Pegg. So originally, when the comic books were coming out, they asked Simon Pegg, could they use his likeness to be the Siri character? And he's like, oh yeah, absolutely. And also, can I be Huey if you ever make it? And then by the time they made it, Simon Pegg was just that little bit too old. So they cast him as Huey.
Does make sense why he's in it, though, because that role is so nothing.
Yeah, it's garbage, like, right?
Why would they waste Simon Pegg on that role? But I guess if it's just a sort of, here's a cameo kind of thing, it makes it more sense.
It's almost a shame they didn't find something else for him to do, actually, because he's awesome and he clearly loved it. And yeah, his character is just, he's there for, like, it's crap, right? If we're going to pick holes in it, it's like, what a waste of Simon Pegg, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what you could have had him do, but... Hayley Joel Osment as fucking Mindbender or whatever he was called. Remember the guy who just like holds your hand and reads your mind? He's just like down and out, formerly successful child superhero star. And it was like, what a perfect casting thing they did for that. Like, that was great.
Incredible casting on it.
Yeah, one thing they could do with Simon Pegg, and I would like to see in general a bit more of, is just like random other superheroes who aren't like main characters or anything, but just show like show a superhero with like a weird power just for a scene, just as like a joke or something. Throw a bit more of that in, because you only really see the main seven.
That kind of comes up as well, and that they're basically making these superheroes, but they don't know what's going to happen until they sort of make them. And some of them are like, the ultimate one is Homelander, he's basically Superman, but then you could also be like fucking
Pop
Claw, where it's just like, I have claws, I guess, and I'm sort of stronger than your average bear. But like,
stronger than your average bear.
But like, yeah, a couple of like throwaway scenes are just other heroes, and you could have like Simon Pegg as someone with like a weird power or something. That would have been a much better use for him, I think.
This is a bit of a distraction, but one show that did that amazingly well and did a really good job of something really similar, which is One Punch Man, where it goes into kind of the commercialization of superheroes in the real world. And it's only one season. It's fucking brilliant. But you have these tiers of superheroes, much like you do on The Boys. And you have like your God tier superheroes. And they're super famous. They're really well paid. Everyone loves them. And then you have all these guys who are just trying to work their way through the ranks. And it's just such an excuse for the animators to do like fucking shitty superhero X. And every episode, three or four new guys roll in and get murdered.
But I like that it would be like wrestling as well, to where it's like there's some guys who they're really hiding their weaknesses because they've got one or two things that would like that would be really saleable, whereas there might be this undercard superhero who's way more effective but they're for whatever reason not marketable. Like, that sort of stuff would be really cool. But The Boys is a hard recommend.
The Boys is a hard recommend. And Manus, I'd like to hear your thoughts on something like One Punch Man. I don't think you're a big anime guy. I don't think you've ever watched an anime.
No. And those are the two options.
Yep.
You might.
I'd watch something like that. I'm not.
Yeah, give it a first bit. It's only one season. It's, and they're short episodes. It's pretty light on the fucking weird anime shit.
I have to admit to a bit of ignorance. I had always associated anime with like
porn,
like squid tentacles, like having sex with girls and stuff.
That's hentai. That's totally different.
Yeah, hentai is the thing. I always thought they were kind of the same thing.
They're more similar than you're going to be comfortable with. You're going to be watching a normal ass fucking anime episode, and then there'll just be like an upskirt shot for no reason, and then they'll just move on like it didn't happen. So once you're kind of comfortable with just acknowledging that's a thing, and
well, if I know what it is, if I can have it explained to me what the genre. Once it's like, oh, that's the genre, then
Japanese cartoon.
I always kind of I thought they were one and the same. It was like there was
Pokemon is an anime
that weird neckbeards watched and like jerked off watching and stuff. And then there was, you know, but obviously like there's stuff that I sort of, I didn't really watch it, but like I played the video game of like Ghost in the Shell. That's an anime thing, right?
That is an anime.
So like they're not. It's obviously there's anyway. I certainly watch a series.
I'm not someone who's watched much either. And I just feel like there are certain things that I get the impression as genre tropes that I just find really annoying and off-putting. Like I did try watching Attack on Titan, which is meant to be great, and I did enjoy it. And the concept is amazing, so cool. But there are just so many little annoying things. Like the pacing is so slow.
Yeah.
There's like one period where the characters are like running for their lives through the forest, and it takes like 4 episodes for them to stop running. And it's just...
They tend to just have hundreds upon hundreds of episodes, right? So there's these...
And then like...
Which you like them is awesome.
Like the comic relief characters are always just really annoying and not funny at all. And I, gave up after one season.
If you want something that has no comic relief, it's still super slow. Death Note is one of the best TV shows, full stop, I think I've ever seen. And is an anime, limited, so it's like 40 episodes. And that's it, end to end. It's like a limited series. Now we're just talking about anime.
Well, you said two things there, Jack, that has me interested, like instantly interested. One, limited series, 40 episodes. Two, one season for One Punch Man. I'm in for both. As in, like, most animes, you rightly pointed out, are like, takes four. Like, I was big into Dragon Ball Z when I was a kid. Takes forever for anything to happen. Yeah. Now, you know, I was going through puberty, so it also took forever for anything to happen there. It was nice.
You had time. Yeah, I had time.
Yeah.
That you were okay with that pacing, Ben, explains so much of your comedic writing, where it's like, oh, it doesn't matter if this doesn't get to the joke for 5 pages. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's like holding it in to pee. It feels so much better the longer you wait.
It's going to be such a release when the joke lands.
Yeah.
I mean, are you going to review your beers, Jack? You had Heineken.
I had Heineken.
Did you get anything else?
And then I actually did. So trying to stay on theme with the crew, I got a brew. Brew Brewing's API, which is 5%.
It's called an API.
Yeah. I read it backwards from a software bros out there.
The Acolyte Protection Investigation. I don't know.
The Acolyte Protection Investments. They went financial after, like Wu-Tang Financial. Yeah, this is fine. This kind of, Ben, that thing you said about IPAs not wanting to be drank, this is very much that, and is actually a really good way of describing why I don't generally like IPAs. This is fine. I don't even think I should give it a score because I've only had like a little bit of it at this point. Maybe half of it. It's good. It's good for what it is, but I'm not a huge IPA guy.
Okay, Fallout Boy candidate who will not be considered because you didn't fill out your application form in full. James, what did you think of what you had?
The Journeyman IPA was quite nice. It's sort of fruity, it's hoppy, it's can't really find anything wrong with it. Not amazing, but it's probably about a 7.5, maybe an 8 if I'm feeling generous.
I think that might be one of Dave Guilfoyle's beers. He doesn't work for them anymore, but I think it's Station Works, and I think it's his recipe.
Okay, that's cool. Wrong.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. He won't be long letting us know when he's caught up in 2 weeks' time. He was about 40 episodes behind, and then he got a new job where he's loads of time to listen to podcasts, so he's up to about episode 200 now. Or
where's the new job?
Brewmaster, I think he works with. I've been hoping to have him on to talk about it, but
that would make sense. If he started with Journeyman, he obviously worked his way up to a brewmaster.
I figured brewmasters were just a like something Rye River did, or they were something else, but no, brewmaster's its own thing. They're in Dundalk, they seem to be pretty good. Even if they weren't before, if Dave's up there, they'll get pretty good pretty quick. Yeah, I liked this Mammoth IPA by Wicklow Wolf. I could see buying it again, which puts it at a certain level already. The things I said, I still think.
Nice.
I think it's a... I gave Dutch Gold like 8.5, so that just fucking inflates everybody's grades, doesn't it? But this is legitimate. This is a legitimate 7. This is like not graded on a curve. This is a 7. Buy this. It's nice.
Yeah, I have to agree. I would. It's now in my staple for putting IPAs in the fridge. Unlike, I've been kind of following Gavin's journey with pale ales, and I've realized that I've had the opposite journey, that I've always liked pale ales and never been too sure about IPAs and always confused the two. Mm-hmm. But this has kind of taken me the other way. I'd be giving it an 8. Now I'm trying to find, like, I only give it an 8 because I'd probably give it a 4 or 3.75 on like an Untappd or something like that. So I'm trying to go that way. But it's like easy to drink. Smooth, doesn't try to stop you drinking it despite the heat in it. And I think IPAs often have that dual nature to them. Either they're like super hoppy and bitter, or they're a bit more kind of fruity and citrusy. And it sort of sits nicely towards the slight herbalism. Is that a thing? But it kind of has that to it.
It's got fruitiness to it.
Yes.
It's on the hoppy bitter end without being so far over there that it'll put you off, if that would put you off.
Yes, yeah. Like you said, it's not going to be there going like, oh no, this is the thing I hate about these. Which, to your point earlier, man, it's either puts it at a West Coast or the other one. Whichever one is the thing, it's the other one. Yeah, exactly. Passing, so I'd be giving it
the finger test, all of this stuff. I don't know.
With no Gavin, that gives it a total score of 15 and a final countdown score of 7.5. If I'm an 8 and you're a 7, we meet in the middle.
We do. The maths are pretty easy when we only have two of us. It's pretty good. It's a solid buy. You should buy it. You should try it. I'll buy it again. So there you go. Which I suppose only leaves us one thing to cheers to this week. And if it sounds like I'm stalling for time, what are you talking about? That's ridiculous. I know exactly what we're going to cheers to this week. Pretty much hoping that anyone will just come in with something. I mean, that'd be a...
I think it's pulling a sick nolly on your Mini Cooper.
Dead right. You're dead right. Yeah. It's pulling a sick nolly on your Mini Cooper.
Pulling a sick nolly on...
Pulling a sick nolly on your Mini Cooper and mistaking Tony Hawk for Tony Hawk.
All right, gentlemen. Good episode. Good talking to you.
Pleasure, as always. Do me a favor.
The Fine Ale Countdown is brought to you by Gavin Carberry, Jack Toner, James Belfast, and Ant-Man is Cronin. Follow us on Twitter at Fail Countdown. Fail Countdown. And email us at fineailcountdown@gmail.com.